You know, over the years, there's been a lot of change. A lot of it is for the good. And remember when phones had to have a wire going into your wall? I remember phones that you had to crank. Okay? Yes, I'm that old. Okay? And some of you are too, so don't sit there laughing at me. Okay? But then, boy, do you remember when we got push-button phones and you didn't have to dial? And everybody thought that was great. And then you got things like call forwarding and third-party calling, and you didn't have to go on a party line and listen to somebody else talk. And change can be good. And then you had the big cell phones, and now the bricks, yep, the bricks. And now we have computers that are hundreds of times, or phones that are 100 times more computer power than what the Apollo moon mission, the spacecraft had on their computers. Absolutely. My handheld calculator in college was better than that one. So the issue is that there is change, and things do change. You know, God gives us the gift of knowledge, and we can change this. You know, a lot of people say that we need to embrace change. Well, yes and no. There are change that is good. It's good to get off of a landline phone and go to a cell phone. There are some people that go even further. Person you all know, Tony Robbins, says change is inevitable. And everybody says that change is going to happen, and change is going to happen. We are fundamentally changing right now in our country. The circumstances and this COVID thing is changing what normal is. You know, you can't sit together, or you can't do things together. We're wearing masks as we go outside. That's change. Change is inevitable. Some of it good, some of it bad. But I disagree with this. Progress is optional. That basically says you have to embrace change the way man says that change has to come. Okay? Or that you're falling behind. You know, there is the old way, and there's a new way of doing things. But you know, for the Christian, there's only one way.
Amen.
And that one way is Christ. There's a fundamental truth, a fundamental principle that we should guide our lives by. That everything that we, as we monitor change and we see change, we need to keep this truth, this thought, this principle in mind. That truth does not change.
Amen.
Absolute truth from God's Word does not change. And so tonight, the title of my message is this: has God changed you, or have you changed God? Has God changed you, or have you changed God? Very quickly tonight, I want to bring up 3 points. The first one is this: God does not change.
Amen.
Truth does not change. In the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, the first part of that verse says that God does not change in character. And boy, we have a lot of people that change in their character from one day to another. And I thank God that He does not change. In Malachi 3:6, it says, "For I am the Lord." You know, there are a lot of proclamations by God that "I am the Lord." Is He your Lord? He needs to be. And if He's not, why not? He needs to be our Lord. He says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." God does not change in character. God does not change in presence. He does not change in person. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, who is God, by the way, the same yesterday and today and forever. So God does not change in character. God does not change in presence or in person. God does not change in action. In James chapter 1, verse 17, a verse that we studied when we went through the book of James, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. You can't get good from evil. You can only get good from God, who's truth. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no darkness. Okay? In whom is no variableness, neither shadow or turning. God does not change in character. God does not change in presence. God does not change in action, because God is truth. And truth does not change. Amen. So that's the standard. And so people, mankind, over history, has tried to change God. See, man wants to change God for several reasons. The first reason he wants to change God is because he wants to deny the truth. In Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, it says, because that, Paul's writing to the Romans at a part where the debauchery of Rome was starting. The society fall of Rome was starting. And Paul was an eyewitness to those things. Folks, we are an eyewitness to the society failing now. And you know why? Because people don't live for truth. And people say truth is the way I think it, and it's not absolute. So Paul's writing here to the Romans, and he says this. He says, because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You can either stand in the light, and if you're not in the light, you're in the darkness. You know, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, which is absolute truth. He's uncorruptible. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. It says, uncorruptible God unto an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Because see, when you can start doing that, you can deny that there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up. You know what I'm saying? God's going to let you think what you want to think. But you're going to have to answer for what you think one day. There will be a death. There will be a judgment. And you have to stand before God and give reason for your actions. And if you don't have the saving blood of Christ, you are damned to hell. Wow. That's absolute truth. It's absolute truth. There's only one way. There's only one way. Wherefore God also gave up their uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And boy, do we see that today. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. See, God is all truth. And if you don't see God His way, you're living a lie. You're living a lie. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature or the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. See, man wants to change God because he wants to deny that truth exists. Because if truth exists, then he has to become accountable to it. And if there is no standard, then I can do whatever I want to do. So man wants to change God to deny the truth. Man wants to change God to justify his actions. To justify his actions. Back in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles and also in Isaiah, there is the account of when the Assyrians, under the command of Sennacherib, came to invade Jerusalem. And he's standing out there taunting the Jews outside the walls. And they basically say, hey, might as well give up and surrender now, because nothing's going to save you. And there was a king by the name of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah motivated the people to seek God. But see, the people who want to change God for their own actions will say something like this. And in verse 18 through 20, this is Sennacherib's and Rabashiska's answer. It says, beware lest Hezekiah persuade you. He's out there yelling at the top. Folks, we got the world yelling at the top of their lungs that there is no God. We got the world yelling at the top of their lungs that if you believe in God, you're emotionally and mentally weak. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nation delivered his God out of the hands of the king of Assyria? Who thought he was a god? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of Seraphim? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? No, because I'm bigger than them. My God's bigger than your God. We serve the right God. And folks, all the way through wars, through mankind, over religion. Folks, we serve the one true God.
Amen.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. Who are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? You know, people can use the right name for God, but if they don't believe it, it doesn't make any difference. See, God is Jehovah. God is Almighty. God is all powerful. So man wants to change God because he wants to deny the truth so he's not accountable. Man wants to change God so he can justify that his gods are better than the real God and justify his actions. Man wants to change God to be a God himself. To be like his small g God. In Psalm 135, verses 15 through 18, the psalmist writes this. He says, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, they, but they see not. You can actually put them in your pocket. Carry them around with you. Okay? They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. And notice what the last verse here. They that make them are like unto them. See, I can make something to represent my religion. To represent the way I think. To represent my knowledge and my attitudes. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth. See, man's going to do everything he can to evade the truth. Remember when we were kids? Okay? And we got caught doing something? And our parents knew what it was? They said, did you do this? We come up with all sorts of crazy stories, didn't we? You know, the point is that if you tell the truth the first time, you don't have to remember anything.
Right?
Because it's the truth. And the truth doesn't change. We just need to remember God's truth. So, man wants to change God to deny the truth. Man wants to change God to justify his own actions. Man wants to change God so he can be a God in himself. Man wants to change God so he can go to excess. So he can go to excess. There was a prophet by the name of Isaiah came in when Israel had forgotten God. They had forgotten the God that had taken them out of Egypt. They had forgotten the God who had given them all the laws. They hadn't listened to God. And so in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 8, it says, their land also is what? Just got a few idols in it. Nope, full of idols. Because you know something? Once you start going down that path, you just go headlong down. Because if you believe one lie, you'll believe another one. And if you believe two lies, you'll believe three. And if you believe 3, you'll believe 10.
You become a Democrat.
And then 100. And then the life that you're living is a lie. Says, their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their hands, that which their own fingers have made. You know why? Because man wants to have control. We see a little bit of that today. People want to have control because they want to say, I'm right, you're wrong. My way is the right way, your way is the wrong way. They want to say, I want to be, you need to be like me instead of being like you. And then the thing is go to excess. So see, man wants to change God so he can go to excess. But here's the truth. God wants you to change. God wants everyone in here to change. You know why? Because it's his plan. In Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 30, the Bible says this. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? To be conformed to the image. If you claim salvation in Jesus Christ, God's plan for your life is to be like him. God's plan for your life is to be the reflection of his image. God's plan for your life is to live in truth and to live in light and to put on Jesus Christ. He says to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, you know if you're saved or not. And if you're saved, this is not optional. This is biblical truth. Then he also called. God has called everyone who claims Christ as their Savior to be conformed to his image.
That's right.
Then he also justified. Then he also glorified. Do you exude the glory of God? We are created in his image. But as a Christian, we're supposed to look like his Son. Do you look like his Son? This morning we talked about having an outward appearance as we reflect on the remembrances of God. We don't have to wear clothes with a band and fringes on it. Our life should emit God's glory. So, God wants to change his plan. God wants to change his process. And if you're not being more God-like or more Christ-like today than you were yesterday, you're not living truth. You're not living truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all, Paul must have been a Texan. Y'all. Okay? But we all, with open face. You know, sometimes when we're confronted with the truth, we do this. I don't want to see that. See, our relationship with God should be like Moses' relationship with God. And Moses talked to God face to face. Moses lived in the presence of the glory of God. So much that if you remember the book of Exodus, when he came down out of the mountain, he would come talking to God, his face glowed. His presence glowed. He emitted the glory of God. And they were scared out of their gourd. They thought that Moses had turned radioactive. But I tell you what, there's a lot of people in the world that think God is radioactive. There's a lot of people in the world that think that if you're a Christian, you are radioactive. But we need power, not Christ. It says here, but we all with open face, beholding as in glass, the glory of the Lord. Why aren't you not changing? The answer is right here. If you're not changing, you're not in the glory of God. You're not in the presence of God. You're not looking to God. Because it says this, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed. It's an action and a result. You got to do the action to get the result. Are changed into what? Same image. I don't know what the will of God is for my life. The will of God is to look like Him. And in order to look like Him, you've got to behold His glory. And you've got to be thankful. All those people that turned their back, Romans chapter 1, they weren't thankful. They didn't glorify God. They turned it into a lie. They said, we're changing the same image from glory to glory. And here's the process part. You don't stop. We don't stop until we get to heaven. And so we need to live more for the glory of God today than we did yesterday. We need to look more like Him today than we did yesterday and last week and the week before. And tomorrow, have you made it a goal to look more like Christ? Tomorrow, have you made it a goal to be more holy? That's the point. They say in the same image for glory, glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. And if you allow the Spirit of God to control your life, this will happen. See, in order to see God, you got to let God work in your life. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. So it's His plan, it's His process. We must look into the mirror of God's Word. You know, this is the instruction manual for life. And if you never read the instruction manual, then you'll be like every other man and try to put things together without the faith, and you wind up with missing parts. Yeah. And then it doesn't work. And then you blame everybody else except you. See, the reason is, here's all the parts right here. It gives us the schematic, it gives you the parts list, it gives you everything you need. And you follow the instructions. And if you follow the instructions, you'll look like God. In James chapter 1, verses 23 to 25, it says, for anybody who's hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and then turns around. And if you don't look in the mirror periodically, you kind of forget how you look. It says, for he beholds himself, goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. This is truth. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he not being not a forgetful hearer, because we're supposed to remember the things that God tells us to remember. We're supposed to reflect on those things. And then we're supposed to relate them to our life. But whoso looketh at the perfect law of liberty and continueth there, he not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be what? Blessed in his deed. So see, God wants us to change. It's His plan. It's His process. And we've got to look into the mirror of God's word. And here's the thing. God gifts us when we get saved. He doesn't make us cookie cutters. Look at the disciples. There were fishermen and tax collectors and all sorts of people. And they all were different, but they were united in serving God once they got on board. And so what we need to understand is that this church is going to function as a body, and the body has different parts. But every part has to function the right way. And the issue is, it may not be the way you want it to be, but if it's in accordance with God's word, that's the way it should be. Amen. Because then, if you're saying, well, it should be my way and no way, then you're in that second point where you just want to change God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Folks, living the truth of God will allow us to change in changing times. But we will never deny the truth of God. We're going to have to do things differently. Wednesday night or Thursday night, I was praying for wisdom. I would like you all to pray for me for wisdom. Mm-hmm. And for our church for wisdom. As we come out of this and we deal with how to open up a Sunday school now. How do we do all these things now? Is there something else? It needs to be in line with God's truth. But it's not going to be the way it was. Folks, the world was not the way it was after Christ came. And it changed. And we have the capability of changing the world no matter what the world changes to. And that's what we're supposed to do. It says there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works in all in all. For the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what? Profit with all. What does profit mean? To do good. What does profit mean? To be successful. So, God has a unique way for all of us to go. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. It's in His Word. And I really, really want to encourage you. I hope you all read your Bible every day. And if you say, I don't have enough time for it, then what's that saying to the Savior who gave up everything to die on the cross for you? We need to start living for Him. Because things are changing. Things are changing. We are still alive. And we need to look for what He's going to use me or you uniquely in. The last thing is our choice. It's our choice. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And Joshua sums it all up. They come in the promised land. You know, they've been through all these troubles and everything else. God's got them through it. But then at the end of this book, Joshua gives a choice. And folks, this is what we need to do. It's a choice. He said, it has seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood. And what happened there? It was so debauchery that God destroyed the world with a flood. Christ is coming back. The tribulation period is coming. The millennial reign is coming. And then He will destroy this world too. For the same reason. For mankind's sin. Or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
You can't do, if you don't serve God, you'll believe a lie. If you don't serve God, you'll have a different view of God than who He is. We need to serve Him the way He's created us to and what He gave His Son for. So my question tonight is, who needs to change? I think we all need to change. We have not arrived yet. So if God's laid something on your heart to change out of your life, get it resolved tonight. Get it reconciled to Him tonight. If you don't know Him as Savior, when we sing, come forward, we can show you God's Word how you can get saved. Or I'll talk to you afterwards. But we need to do truth. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask for you this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to live truth. But Father, from a truthful relationship with you. Lord, I just ask that you just show us what we need to do to be more like you, that we will surrender to that tonight. We give you this time. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.